if you can, do it. If you can't, it's no big deal. It's all right. But if you can, try to do that. It'd be great. We're gonna preach today on marriage, on husbands and wives. The title of the message is Doing Marriage Well. And some of you in here are like, I'm not even married. That doesn't even apply to me. Why did I even come to church today? And I almost didn't even send out a text last night because I was like, some people ain't going to come. But I can promise you that everybody in here can benefit from learning about how husbands and wives are to behave in marriage. I've done two weddings in a row. I did a wedding for Grady's daughter, Taylor, last night. And I did one for a young lady that I baptized more moons ago than I want to admit. And she was marrying actually my cousin, or like my fourth cousin. And it's really, it's got me to really thinking about marriage and the importance of it. And one of the things I said last night during the wedding, I said, you can't have a wedding and talk about two people joined together without talking about the gospel. The gospel is a picture of, well, weddings and marriages are a picture of what the gospel is like, or what it's supposed to be like, right? And so I want to encourage you guys today, if you're not married, you probably will be one day, all right? So I talked to my son, and he does not like girls. And he does not want to get married ever. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, son. I think you're totally fine with me saying this. The only woman that's pretty in this world to him is his mother. And he thinks Mia is kind of okay, but that's it, all right? But I promise, yes, Mia Dixon. Let's make sure we know which one we're talking about here. obviously, that shows the point right there. But what I tell him is, one day he's going to like girls, and one day he's going to want to get married. More than likely. That's more than likely the case. And I want to encourage you young people in here to take marriage seriously. The thought of it, the planning for it, the type of people that you would date. I really wish I could just do a whole sermon on that. But I do want you to know that it applies to you from the youngest in here, even to the oldest. Even those that say, you know what, I'm not going to get married again. You know, I've done that. You know, maybe I had a spouse die or something like that, or something happened. I'm not going to do it again anyway. But I do want to encourage you because you have a sphere of influence. All right? There are people that you influence in your life, and we want to make sure that you are encouraging them to make the right choices in marriage. Because marriage is important. Because marriage signifies the relationship between Jesus and His people. Alright? So in 1 Peter chapter 3, and one of the reasons the other reason I'm doing this is because there's some things that I really want my wife to work on. And so I figure if I'll preach about it, like that this, I'm just being honest, right? I'm just kidding. I'm already in trouble right now. The good thing about speaking on this, there's all kinds of laughter that can happen when we do it, which is a good. It's a blessing. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Title of the message is Doing Marriage Well. Peter says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see you respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart and the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. By submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now we're going to pray, but before we pray, I want to tell you there are quite a few things in here that today's culture will find shocking. There are quite a few things in here that you think you may know what he's saying, and you don't. There are quite a few things in here that are taken out of context to make men seem like they have this power that they really don't. And there are quite a few things in here that are taken out of context to make women seem inferior when, in fact, they are not. And so I believe that if you'll take the time to delve into these words here that Peter has to say, you're going to find out that they're a blessing for men and for women. And my heart in preaching on this really has just been led from having done a couple weddings the past few weeks. This is something that I've been wanting to talk about in our church as well, because marriage is the backbone of the church. It's one of the main things that helps keep a church strong are marriages that honor God. And I want to do my marriage better, and I want to help you do your marriage better. All right? And so let's pray and ask that God will accomplish that. Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. We are just so thankful that we can come and talk about these things. Lord, we know that, God, you gave us the gift of marriage. It is something that you did. It's not our right. Rather, God, it's a privilege that you have given us, and we're thankful for it. Now, we pray that today, if there's one thing maybe we'll understand, is that it is a covenant between two people that you join together. And so I pray that we'll see that and then see that we have covenant with you, that your Son, Jesus Christ, his blood was spilled to seal the covenant between you and sinful man, and by our faith in your Son Jesus Christ, we have union with him, married to God. Help us see it. Help us to be better wives, better husbands. For those here that are not, help them be an influence on other people, and those that may one day be a wife or a husband, God, I pray they hear these words, they apply to their lives, and it helps shape what they'll do when it comes to marriage in their future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you notice, there are a lot more words in here for women than there are for men, right? And that's probably because men can only handle so much at one time. There's a command for women to behave in a certain way, and there's a command for the men to behave in a certain way. And he gives a little bit more words for the women, because you guys usually can understand a little bit more, I think. And us men, we need things like short and simple. But so don't think, though, because there's so many more words for the women that will take me more time to expound, because we're doing exposition, so there's just more to explain. It does not mean that it is more important for the ladies to listen in here than it is for the men, all right? We see that, okay? It's an equal exhortation to both genders to hear. The main theme of 1 Peter really is essentially for us to live in such a way that those around us come to know Jesus Christ, even if that takes suffering. That's simply what we have here. These verses are addressed to everyone, addressed mainly to believers. That's what the church is addressed to. And so if we want to raise up children who know how to do marriage, that are ready for it, that are prepared for it, that they don't have to be begged and talked into doing premarital counseling before they get married, that they say, I want to do that. I want to dedicate my marriage to God, because he is the author of marriage. There is no marriage outside of God calling it marriage. There are probably very few things that are more important in the church than healthy marriages. And so I want you to hear God's word here today. So he's speaking to all believers. He's speaking to husbands and wives in general, and he's also speaking to husbands and wives with unbelieving spouses to give them hope and encouragement when times are very difficult for them. And it is very difficult to be a husband or wife married to someone who is not a believer. It's very difficult. And he gives you hope there. Now, a word for those of you who may be on the lookout for a spouse. God has a lot to say about this, all right? And I've seen this go wrong with people that I know bunches of times. And I'm more convinced than ever that God's way is the right way. I am more convinced than ever. His way is better for you. It is so much better. There's so much less heartache and pain. Not that there won't be along the way, but he says, Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? That verse there, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, is very important. So when you're dating, make decisions to date men and women. Men if you're a woman, women if you're a man, I have to signify that. That are godly, that love the Lord. When we are dating someone that is not a Christian, it heightens our chance to become married to someone who's not a Christian. And once you're married, all right? That's it. You're committed. And then it's a whole other ball game, let me tell you. All right? And so make sure that you have a person who loves the Lord. So he starts out and he's essentially saying, look, women, be subject to your husbands. Now, men, notice in just a few verses he's going to address the husbands. He'll tell them what to do. He'll say, likewise. So that, listen closely, because there's some things that he says to women that may apply to you as a husband. So he says, be subject to your own husbands. Verse 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Now that word subject or submit, it literally means to place or rank yourself under another. To obey another person, that's what the word means in its literal sense. It is used in the military to describe rank. Now, this is not popular at all. This is not something that most people like, mainly because it's taken out of context. Many women dismiss these verses, but it is meant just as it is read, in a sense. Men, on the other hand, use these verses to get their way. They take it out of context. They may think that women should just do whatever they say, bow down before them, among other wrong ideas. And can I make it easier to accept if I were to give you an example of someone with great authority that submitted himself to someone who was equal to him? And I can give you that example because Jesus Christ is that example. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, we see it laid out that it teaches here, and I'll read the verse, but it says, Jesus is equal with the Father, yet he humbled himself, all right? Submitting himself. So, have this mind among yourselves. So, I think we would say women here, especially because it's who he's addressing. It is for all people. Which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. John 1 says, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you see you have an equality there between the Father and the Son. But he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or literally held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So Christ has submitted himself to the Father, to the will of the Father. So equals can submit one to the other without being made less of a being or person. You understand that? Being submissive does not mean that the woman is less than the man. Please hear that. we run to that really quickly. Hey, you know, doesn't mean that. It does not mean she cannot make choices on her own. Because in this context, in these verses in 1 Peter, there is a woman that he's thinking of that has followed Christ without her husband following Christ. Right? We see that. Even if some do not obey the word, you can win your husbands without a word. So it does not mean that she cannot make her own choices. It does not mean that she agrees with everything that her husband says. Thank goodness that that doesn't have to be the case, right? How many of us men have been moved in a better direction because our wife said, "Whoa, slow down there. Let's think about this," right? It doesn't mean that she would never try to win her husband to Christ. It does not mean that she gets her spiritual strength from her husband. Your spiritual strength comes from God. The husband can help and should help. So can friends. Many struggle because they look to their husband to fulfill those needs, the needs that only God can fulfill. And even if he did meet them, you would have nothing more than a false god in your life. Your relationship with Christ should be strong regardless of your husband's. It also does not mean that she lives in fear of her husband and she's afraid of him. God says we're to fear God only and not man. And why is it important that she behaves in this manner and in what's following? Because it says, so that even if some, speaking of their husbands, do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So the goal here is glorifying God with the goal of other people being brought to Jesus Christ. Your character, your behavior is very important because it helps win unbelieving spouses to the Lord. Now, this is true across the board. If you're married or not married, your conduct, it matters. And so if you are in here and you have a husband or a wife that is unbelieving, there is hope for you. It applies to the husband as well if he's following God's instructions, although it will be in a different way and in a different role. It will help bring wives to the Lord. So it applies in the same way. Behaving like a godly husband will help to win the wife as well. Now, I want you all to know that there is no, I want to emphasize this, not because I'm afraid of backlash, but because it needs to be emphasized. I want you to know that there is no greater than or less than in mind when it comes to husbands and wives. Never in all the Bible are men or women to be made out to be greater or less than each other. This is a tool of Satan, meant for division. He uses it against the church in public to discredit the gospel. He plays on the pride of men and women so that when they hear this word, wives, women, submit to your husband, whoa, they cry afoul. They cry archaic book. What? There's no way you can follow the teachings of this book. They're telling us they're going to put us back in the dark ages. They're going to put women back in the kitchen barefoot and pregnant. We can't have that. Right? We can't have that. It's not doing that. It's not saying that. Although there is never a place that it places a man as greater than a woman, there are roles. Roles that God has set in place for our greatest pleasure and for His greatest glory. Now, I say that men and women are equal and have equal responsibility before God to be faithful to Him. They also have equal responsibility to help the other grow in the Lord. I think it's very clear from these verses that both the men and the women should be equally concerned with the spiritual growth of their spouse. So he goes on to say, be respectful and pure in your conduct. In verse 2, it helps win an unbelieving husband. I believe it obviously helps in marriage as well, right? With a husband that is saved. Respectful means it means you respect your husband. Your husband may have given you no reason to respect him. But he still says do it. We all think that respect is something that should be earned. But in the text here, he is telling the Christian